Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Astrid Carter, and creative director, stylist, and founder of Mercer 7, Erna Leon.
Hello.
That was a bit of a mouthful. Hi, welcome, Erna. Thank you so much for trekking all the way from Highgate to Wandsworth, one side of London to another, but you made it.
Yes, I did. My
and
pleasure.
It's quite muggy, isn't it, today? I know, I was freezing this morning, so I put cashmere on. I'm now seriously regretting it. I felt like I was sitting in a sweatbox.
That's what I thought. I thought it would be quite chilly, so I put like a blazer on.
I know. I'm just hoping summer's not over. I think it's going to warm up, isn't it?
It's a bit New York-y today with the humidity.
Is it?
It reminds me, yeah.
Is it? Oh, if only. If only we were in New York. Let's start off talking a bit about TV. Are you a TV watcher? Are you a movie watcher?
I'm a big Netflix binger.
Are you?
Is there such a thing?
Like, yes, definitely. What have you watched recently?
So I'm absolutely obsessed with Shooter.
Okay, I'm writing this down because I've just finished
Shooter. Shooter is really good. Then Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Ray Donovan. I can go on.
Game of Thrones, is that Netflix?
No.
Netflix. Is it Netflix? No?
No, that's on Sky.
I don't know, but wait.
Sky Dante.
Anyway, you're a Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah.
Are you, Laura?
And also another one that I loved was Vikings. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah, I'm starting a bit of a theme, I think, Erna. Are you influenced by your husband's TV choices?
No, I just love that stuff as well. We're both kind of, into... He's more into documentaries as well.
We wrote a list of the best documentaries on Netflix to watch right now. Have you seen any of those?
Yes, I actually was on your website the other day, and I really want to see the Janis Joplin and Tupac Shakur documentary. But from the list, so I've seen 13, which is about racism in America, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And
God, I'm pretty topical right now.
Yeah, it's really like left me in up tears the whole time.
Well, I have seen on our list Amanda Knox. Have you seen Amanda Knox?
I started watching it, but I found it really weird, like really awkward to watch. She's such a strange person. Whether she did it or not, she's strange.
She's really strange. I think, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. She's a strange person. I walked away from it and I was like, there's no way she did that. Like, categorically,
really?
I do not think
she
did that. Yeah, I'd be interested to know what you think.
I didn't finish it. I just found it too weird.
Yeah. I was really 100% convinced.
Really?
Yeah. I know, I watched it a while ago. It's been out quite a while. I also watched Cocaine Cowboys because I love anything like that. My husband thinks I'm going to run off with like a drug dealer or something one day, but I'm fascinated by anything like that. But I was so into Narcos.
Your strongest.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I love
How good
it.
Is it?
Oh, it's so good.
You have both
I
series.
Love Narcos.
So that was
so
like my
good.
Narcos is finished. I'm gonna watch that. So
Pablo
really
Escobar. Yeah, it was really amazing.
I know it is amazing, isn't it? And you
so
can't
good.
Help but like him. Have you both seen it?
Yeah, I haven't actually.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah. I think everything I've ever watched, to me, that's the best thing.
No, it was really good. It's one of those, you know, series you stay till. Or maybe just me, till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, to get to the end of the season.
Yeah. I think it is. I agree with you. It's one of the ones that really keeps me up. And when I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Saturday night we were watching House of Cards and I was really falling asleep and I didn't make it to the
House of Cards with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Kind of lost it a bit with this series.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I haven't watched all of it, but I keep trying. And everyone's saying
everybody
says it's amazing.
Although JT was saying, he's like, oh, it's getting quite good now. It's getting quite good. But it was just on the edge of my seat.
Didn't you want it to continue?
And I wasn't picking up my phone once. Yeah. I really wanted to continue. And the weird thing is that I really liked Pablo Escobar. I mean, the man. I mean, he's the devil. It's unbelievable what he got away with for so long. And there's this one bit where he blew up a plane and he thought the FBI agent was going to be on the plane. So he sent this guy with a suitcase and blew up a plane. Everyone died on the plane. And I think that was the moment for me in the series where something switched to me. I didn't like him anymore, but it took a lot of killing for me to...
It's funny with films, isn't it, when they portray somebody that did a lot of bad stuff in their life, but they portrayed the way that the audience liked that person.
Yeah, they want
one way or another. Yeah.
Pablo Escobar has become that, I don't know, like, cool character. Like, no one sees him as an evil or a devil.
Yeah.
Like
but
say,
I think but people forget, it's interesting, you say cool character, people forget that it's real. And that's
yeah.
why I had to keep reminding myself when I was watching it. I was like, this is real. I mean, this is him, like, kidnapping women. This is him just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal. Have you seen it? Third season is going on to the... So it was the Cali cartel, and it's now going on to the other cartel that basically took over from
them. Yeah, but he's no longer in... Didn't they shut...
Because he died, didn't
he? Yeah, they
he's dead,
off.
He's out.
So now I just kind of like...
But I think they'll do it well, because they just do, don't they?
I'm not going to watch that BBC thing tonight. I'm going to watch Narcos instead.
Have you not watched any of it?
I've watched like the first two.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Do Shooter
is...
as well. Shooter is really good.
Well,
okay, cool.
Yeah. Honestly, Narcos, like every person I've told to watch it, my stepbrother and sister-in-law, they're like, yeah, nailed it, what next?
Yeah.
They basically keep coming back for recommendations. I'm like, I'm running out of good things to recommend now. Anyway, let's talk about fashion, because, well, you look amazing, Anna. Will you describe to us what you're wearing today? Because you do look damn cool.
Oh, thank you. Pieces that I normally wear, like, I've had them in my wardrobe for a while. Like, I always go to my trusted, you know, kind of timeless essentials, in a way, that I've been wearing for, you know, season after season. And these are white leg blush trousers. I don't do too much colour. And if I do colour, it's normally neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really colour, non-colour.
Well, yeah.
And blazer is one of my go-tos.
Do you always wear a blazer?
A blazer or a trench or a biker jacket.
Always?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
If I'm going anywhere. It's
and this isn't a suit, these are two pieces.
Yeah, just two pieces.
And then you're wearing a Strong Girls Club t-shirt.
Yeah.
Although yours is pink.
Yep, pink with red.
And white. I didn't know
that. She's got
one.
Pink and white.
Oh.
And the pink one, I think, with a higher neck, which I love, because
yes.
I think it's more flattering.
Yes,
on me,
agree.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But,
well, I like it. You're rocking it. The t-shirt looks very good. So tell us about your style. So you said you don't wear much colour.
Not that much colour, no.
You like to wear a jacket. What are your other style rules that you follow?
I don't really... follow any trends or, you know, things that are trendy at the moment or whatever. It just, you know, blazers been around for years and years and years and years. So it's one of my go-tos. It never will go out of style. It's an investment piece.
And what do you look for in a blazer?
Normally I'm a big fan of more oversized jackets. So it's mainly kind of like relaxed shape and relaxed fit, but really great tailoring. Coming from design background, you know, the fit and tailoring is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something from the high street. It doesn't need to be an expensive piece, but high street does some great pieces as well.
And where do you go for your tailoring on the high street?
I absolutely love like Another Stories if it's high street. Also Kohl's I like. I cannot wait to for the Arquette to open. You know the Arquette?
No.
It's opening.
Hang on, is it called Weekday?
No, Weekday is a different store.
Okay.
So Arquette...
How many brands are they owning?
I know, but Arquette is basically a curated concept, and it's all about kind of sustainability, which relates really well to me and Mercy 7, because like my personal edit is all about sustainability through timelessness, and it's all about those kind of forever pieces.
Okay.
Another brand that I really love, and it's a bit more expensive than High Street, it's Me and M.
Yeah.
Don't know if you know it, but
we do. We're big Me and M fans.
It's really, really good, and I wear them quite a lot.
Yeah.
Also, what other ones? Agani, I really love.
Yeah.
You know, you can find pieces.
G-A-N-N-I, that's what
you mean.
Listening.
Yes, I really love Ghani. And you can find pieces that are more accessibly priced and some are more expensive, like on Net-a-Porter, for example, like certain pieces.
Yeah, it's a good
but
price range.
But it's a really good
it
price
is.
Range.
It's, a good
it's
price
this
point.
Middle price point, which I think is really good because it's not very cheap and disposable.
No.
But it's not so expensive that you cannot afford it. So if you need to buy a few pieces for the season and invest so they would kind of come with you, they are more seasonless and got more longevity to it, I think Ghani is a really good
buy.
Yeah,
it's quite clever because it sort of stops you buying just fast throwaway fashion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you're within reach, you can go, well, I can buy that one piece.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I can't buy five other
pieces. And I think Ghani in particular just price things so like relatively, so like a t-shirt will be quite cheap.
Yeah, they're like
they won't
20 quid,
aren't they? Add 50 quid onto it because it's from Ghani.
Yeah,
but that feels like they really considered the price point.
Some stuff's really expensive, like a coat will be really expensive, but that's because it's
but,
a coat.
Yeah, like 350. But then if you think about it, you know, you go to I don't know Zara,
you can buy,
and
Zara.
200 will be in Zara like for a nice coat. So if you go like 100 more, but you know that the fabric quality is nice, and not every single person on the high street will be wearing the same thing. You know, just pieces like that, they're really good. And I'm into quite minimal style and with a bit of rock and roll edge.
Yeah, so would you say that's your kind of look then?
Yeah, so versatile pieces, effortless style and minimal with a bit of rock and roll edge.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
And what else is always in your wardrobe? So blazers, oversized blazers. What else?
I own 15 biker jackets.
Leather.
I used to design them as well, so I've got like samples that I've done. You know,
the different colors.
That, so from nude and beige to grey
and black,
dove grey, different shades of grey and black.
Different shades of grey on my street. And what about evening wear? We wrote a piece on how to make your evening wear wardrobe work for the day. I quite like this look. I quite like a sequin skirt with a chunky knit. And actually, I think evening wear is that thing which I sort of loathe to spend money on it. I had my cousin's wedding earlier this year, and it was in the Caribbean, and I invested in a couple of really expensive dresses. I wore one of them to a dinner party on a baking hot day, but I haven't worn the other one.
Yeah.
And I kind of think what I could have got if I bought everyday wear. Yeah. So I really like the idea that you can wear these pieces. And it was like the dress I bought a Luc Charmant off the shoulder navy silk maxi. Mm. And we had a dinner party at home, and it was absolutely sweltering, and I just put some flats on with it, and I was so happy that I'd worn it.
Anyway, yeah.
That was in the evening, not in the day. But you know, I think we should try and get more out of these pieces.
Well, that's you just said it basically. Like, if you put flats or Converse or whatever, you just kind of mix it up a bit and throw oversized denim jacket on top. It's,
yeah,
it works,
or
a leather jacket or whatever. So it kind of works. And if it's a sequin skirt, I'm a big fan of just a simple cotton shirt, like a white cotton shirt. You can put the buttons a bit down and that's it, you're ready to go. And flats, day to night.
And I always love it. I always think people look really nice. Like, you get people who come into the office and you know they're going out that night, but they've got their kind of more evening wear pieces on. And I think it's really, it's nice.
Yeah. I think you've just got to be confident in it if you're going to do it.
So for example, and if I style it with a pair of stilettos and a, you know, sequined or embellished top, I could go out, I could go to the wedding with it.
Yeah.
And I won't think twice about it.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of those day-to-night pieces that you can make it work during the day, but also work in the evening, because it's just such a throwaway fashion. When you buy something, you spend so much money on one single thing and wear it once, so price per wear really doesn't make any sense.
And I think it's a more modern way to dress as well, isn't it? I think it's quite dated to have those sort of, as you think back to sort of 80s 90s, that's my black tie dress, and you know, this is my Thomas Pink shirt and my black trousers, you know, which is my work wear. It's quite a
I always think of my mum, like when she buys something new, she's like, she saves it
occasion.
I'm like, mom, just wear it. I always say to her, use the good bath salts, like there will always be more bath salts.
I remember
that's so true. I love that. Do you use that expression?
Always,
use the good bath salts. You're quite right. Like people who don't light a candle because it's too special. Light a bloody candle. You're so right. I love that, Astrid.
But even a few years ago, well, many years ago now, when Sienna Miller and Kate Moss would wear a pair of kind of distressed denim with a sequined, really kind of in-your-face top. And it was just really cool and chic, even back then. And it's still now. It's like you can still translate it now.
So, I actually must prefer sequins in the day than I do at night.
And it's like that combination never fails, in a way.
Yeah.
You still look quite chic, but in effortless, dressed-down way.
Yeah.
And it works.
We did a piece on styling mistakes you can easily fix. I mean, what do you do if you don't know what to wear?
So, if I don't know what to wear and my laundry is not done, I mean, I'm a mum of two and sometimes life can be crazy, so I would just throw on a pair of jeans and just look into my husband's wardrobe and pick one of his shirts up. I promise you, you will you will still look quite, you know, cool and chic and effortless, whatever you want to call it. And it works. And I always would. I go to like men's department sometimes to look at like smaller, extra small shirts, because the fit is amazing. Just roll up the sleeves.
Yeah,
and
no, I agree with that. But the only thing I would say is I bought men's shirts in Zara, for example, but I buy a small, whereas my husband is bigger than a small Zara, so I would look ridiculous in his shirts. Although, to be fair, I haven't actually tried one on. I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, try it on. Just roll up the sleeves. It's great. So Mark, my husband's got this John Barbada shirt that he had for years. We bought it together in New York. You know John Barbada?
Yeah, yeah.
So literally, this shirt is 50% of the time in my wardrobe. I really love it.
He's like, Anna, have you got my shirt again?
I know. So it's like, and it just, it works.
Do you really do that with shirts? Is there anything else you borrow from him?
He's got, he's got this Breton top, and I've got so many Breton tops, but he's got from All Saints, really thin jersey, and I really love it, and I haven't seen it in women's wear, so I could buy it. Just this perfect shape. And again, I roll up the sleeves and just wear it with my leather leggings, which is one of my go-to pieces in the wardrobe, especially for autumn winter, and with a blazer on top. And just, it's great because it hits right below the bum.
Yeah,
do you know that really flattering look?
That's what I do. Well, you're watching Narcos, Astrid, and I'm gonna be trying to find a new wardrobe.
And sweaters work well as well. Just, you know,
yeah,
just
I was thinking of his cream cashmere jumper. I'm like, oh, I never thought of trying that one on. Autumn winter is on the horizon. Erna, what are the key pieces we all need in our autumn winter wardrobes?
So in terms of autumn winter, I think you could never go wrong by purchasing a scarf, silk scarf, for example, because you can wear it on a day like today around Lillian Lyland doing beautiful ones in Liberty.
And their dresses at the lovely.
Yeah.
So I bought one not long ago. It's a silk, massive scarf with snakeskin print.
Oh, nice.
And it's grey, with just this beautiful grey. So I would wear it with anything. I can wear it now. I can wear it, we were talking about evening dresses and evening wear. I could wear it with that. So it's quite versatile in a way. Also, invest in your biker jackets if you don't have one, because you can wear it on a day like today in the evening to go out, but also it can take you, you know, towards winter as well.
Yeah.
I mean, boots, like little ankle boots are always great.
Yeah.
And you can never go wrong. And I'm a huge fan of pointy boots. I think they look so chic. I saw Yves Saint Laurent the other day, a pair of boots, and they were absolutely incredible. But very similar pointy boot you can also buy in like other stores, for example.
Uh-huh.
So that would be a really great investment piece for the autumn winter. And leggings, leather leggings, are my other go-to item in my wardrobe. I wear them literally at least 3 times.
How do you wash them?
So, lots of people recommend, obviously, dry cleaning them.
Uh-huh.
However,
but not all dry cleaners will do
take
leather.
Yeah.
Take
it.
No, really.
Lots of like
around here.
Jacket.
But the trick is
maybe in high heat. Yeah. A bit more used to dealing with leather.
No, I've never really had a problem. But the way I do it, and don't quote me on that, but that's what I've been doing forever. And as working as a fashion designer, I always experimented with leather as well. So I turn them inside out. I soak them in water for like 2 minutes and just throw them on a high tumble dryer.
What, leather?
Yeah, and that's it. I've been doing it forever.
Really?
But I've been doing it forever, but maybe like don't really quote, because it depends on
don't
the leather.
Don't trust them, just in case.
Yeah. But I've been doing it forever. Like if I don't have time to go to a dry cleaners, I would just soak it a little bit and then throw it in a tumble dryer and it just
shrinks in back of it.
Shrinks in back. But that's what I've been doing, and I've been doing it forever.
I've got to be terrified.
But the good, really good trick though, this you could put it on a podcast, is basically if you're going somewhere and your leather leggings are out of shape, you know, sometimes they get stuck, again, just turn them inside out and throw them in a tumble dryer for half an hour and they go back into shape. Don't wet them, nothing, just put them in a tumble dryer and they go back a little bit in shape, and you'll feel when you put them on they're just a bit tighter.
I'm so blasé about washing machines and dry cleaners, but the words tumble dryer and leather just send me a tidbit
of
a...
Like they drop too dry.
It helps
steam when they come out. I feel like they just...
Tumble dryer is
like
a dryer,
packet,
right?
That you put in the oven. Did you ever do that when you were at school?
Yeah.
No, that's what I've been doing. Like if I'm running late and I want to wear my leather pants, my leather trousers.
Oh, there you go.
I just throw it like 20 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to give it a go. I'm all for not spending money. To me, spending money at the dry cleaner hurts about as much as it does to go to the dentist.
And also, like, leather does not really get as dirty.
No, I wipe the front of my trousers.
It's keeping
fresh.
It
slightly concerns me. I do take them. There is a specialist dry cleaner in Fulham that I go to, but it's bloody expensive.
Yeah.
What about autumn trends? What about you both, Laura, Astrid? Are there any trends that you've got your eye on for autumn?
I love this heritage blazer look.
Me too.
I just love it. And it's kind of classic. I'm a bit like you. I'm not hugely adventurous with my wardrobe, but I just think it would be a nice addition.
Agreed.
That's
you know which one I'm obsessed with, and I use the word obsessed. Anine Bing. Anine Bing's new blazer. It's like a perfect kind of houndstooth check blazer, and it's beautiful. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I'm
going to
check
good.
It out.
I have,
we've got a roundup going this week in British blazers.
It's beautiful, and just something about houndtooth. I mean, it's been around forever, and I can never get enough of it.
Oh, really? See, I'm actually...
I always think of you.
I
always have a thing about
houndstooth. I've got houndstooth shoes that I like. I love a Prince of Wales check, but I'm... Is that what
check.
I mean, a Prince of Wales check?
Prince of Wales.
Like the
grey...
Yeah, I find something about houndstooth that's sort of...
Really fine. Hers, Anine Bing's,
but
is really quite fine.
I have
fine.
A feeling
you
that if
it.
Anine Bing has touched houndstooth, it's suddenly going to be
quite like it.
Very desirable now.
Pretty
so that's
sure
a good one.
Here, hold on. Let me see.
There's an Isabel Marant Toile houndstooth. Yeah, you see, that just doesn't do it for me. But I'm going to check it out. What about you, Astrid? Any trends for autumn winter that you are particularly keen on?
I'm kind of the same. I love these really masculine, oversized check blazers that are in. But also, the high street's doing amazing dark florals.
Yeah, you're so
like
right.
Florals used to be really awful on the high street, but now you can go into Zara and get
something
really
lovely. Yeah, I saw
lovely.
You put something, you've got a skirt or...
I have, I've got a
Zara
skirt.
Yeah, and I thought it was really nice.
It's really nice, it's quite Reformation, just to bang on about Reformation yet again. But I'm with you, I think I was so used to seeing... Earth has just shown me the inane Bing blazer, which I would say is kind of a bit Prince of Wales, a bit Houndstooth.
Kind of like a more open Prince of Wales.
It's kind of a merger, Prince of Wales and Houndstooth.
Maybe that's
why
we all like it.
Yeah, maybe that's why we like it. But yeah, going back to florals, I'm totally with you on florals. I mean, florals for spring summer have been amazing. And it's so great to see that they're transitioning to autumn winter. It's a pretty trend, but and actually, you talk about that kind of rock and roll edge. It's just kind of a cooler way to wear a floral. It's really nice, and especially with layers of velvet and then a little kitten heel boot with a point. It's a nice look.
Velvet is becoming quite big for autumn winter.
It was big last year, but it's even bigger, isn't it?
It's quite massive. It's not necessarily for me. If I would incorporate velvet, I would probably maybe do in accessory way, like maybe on the shoes.
But yeah, a velvet blazer.
Yeah,
and
velvet.
I love my velvet blazer.
So I wouldn't probably wear like a velvet dress. It's maybe not for me, but a velvet blazer, kind of this oversized with probably like a military buttons or something. Something to roughen it up a bit.
Velvet blazer
would be really
evening.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I think it's just so nice in autumn winter. And I did see Massimo Dutti, who have done the most incredible limited edition collection. If you are listening, go and check it out. It is just phenomenal. These blouses with big kind of organza bows and really high-waisted wide leg trousers.
Yes, I've seen the collection.
Stunning.
Beautiful.
And they've done an amazing strapless velvet jumpsuit, which I nearly ordered last week and I didn't get around to it. And I keep thinking about it. It's really cool.
Jumpsuits are, you said, the magic word. I love jumpsuits.
I do, but I'm not one that's too fitted, you know what I mean?
They're just so versatile for me. And I could just wear it with a pair of flats and then just put stilettos on and ready to go. Just a plain, even if it's made of kind of a stretchier fabric that's more comfortable.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a wrap style ones that are just, everywhere now.
Yeah.
But it's just so comfortable.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
And just finishing off on autumn winter trends, I mean, we've talked about a lot of them, but I mentioned it before, but these little kitten-heeled pointed boots, you talked about pointed boots, I think are just so fab because there's nothing like a boot to make you feel, like you've made a bit more of an effort. Do you know what I mean? A heeled boot, but I love that it's such a small heel, you really can wear it.
I'm intrigued. I want to see people wear them day to day. I'm just not sure I could pull that off.
Why?
I don't know.
A kitten heeled ankle boot.
Something about a kitten
heeled
is
the
word.
I'm not talking about a sock boot. I'm talking about.
No, I think I'd be more. But it's more up for wearing a sock boot.
Do you?
Yeah. It's kitten heel.
I think
I just
can't. The point, though. The point makes it cooler. It's not like a really.
Yeah.
Do you not like them because you
like them on other people?
Or not cool enough? Or.
And on all street stars, I love them. But would I buy a pair? I just don't know that I could pull them off.
I think you could
totally.
Yeah, I really do. So we wrote a piece on the flattering way to wear a crop top, and the look was really, a crop top with.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The maxi skirt is a really nice look. What are the sort of combinations, fashion combinations that you think always work really well together?
with crop tops. So there is a formula, and I'm, you know, a big fan of the uniform dressing.
Okay.
So anything in your wardrobe goes well together, almost like a puzzle piece. And in my wardrobe, and if I'm styling somebody, you know, Breton stripe with a blazer and leather leggings, or a pair of really amazingly fitted jeans or boyfriend jeans. So you can never go wrong. There is your perfect denim, your perfect leather legging, your bread on top, or your, you know, cotton shirt or flowy shirt, blazer or a biker jacket. That's it. That's all you need, I feel like, sometimes. Especially, you know, September, October coming. You've got these pieces, that's all, you know, you're ready to go anywhere, really.
And what about you both? Are there combinations that you think always work together?
I'm pretty basic. I mean, I'm probably quite like you. A t-shirt with a blazer or with a leather jacket, I'm always neutral. Don't really wear colour.
Or even like, you know, you can go to Adidas shop and get your sweatshirt and wear it with your leather leggings or your denim, like boyfriend mom jeans or whatever. And it's kind of instantly, it's updating your wardrobe with a bit of...
I'm not sure I do an Adidas sweatshirt and leather leggings, and I've no doubt that you would.
And trainers, white trainers,
yeah,
and that's it. White trainers are another one. You know, it's been going on for a while now, but I quite like it. Or like classic Converse.
So you'd still buy Converse, would you now?
I got Converse
actually. I'm white, not wearing, but yeah, like this, you know, the classic black and white Converse.
So what trainer brands would you buy now?
I love, obviously, like Common Projects are great.
Yeah.
If you want to really invest into it, but you know, so many people do amazing. Trainers, like for example Converse got all leather trainers as well. Who else does it? There is a brand at the shop in Shoreditch that I've discovered recently, and it's called Garment Project, which was
So the trainers,
so,
they are cool.
So there's a Common Project if you want to invest, but the Garment Project was really cool, and they have really nice shape. I love more of an almondy, almondy shape.
Agree,
I think it's
yeah.
much more flattering, and they do really really nice ones. Also, you know, Mint Velvet.
Yeah.
So I own two pairs from them.
Really?
And yeah, you would never really think to get, I don't know, a pair of shoes from them. But I remember discovering, you know, their shoe line randomly in Muswell Hill. I think I was just passing by and popped over in the shop. And I just absolutely loved it. And they're super comfortable. Also, Joseph makes a really lovely ones as well. So there are lots of brands out there that if you don't want to spend £350, you can actually buy really nice ones.
Yeah. Let's talk about tattoos. Because it's always been on your bucket list to get a tattoo. The trend in recent years for delicate tattoos might just get you to commit. And they're seen on a lot of people in the public eye these days. Yeah, it seems like everyone from Amy Song to Chiara Ferragni has a tattoo. Do you have a tattoo?
I don't.
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I was banking on you having a tattoo.
I don't have one. I've designed quite a few for friends and always been on the verge of like, oh, I should get one as well. But now that I'm getting older, and I know it's strange because usually you get a tattoo when you're younger. For some reason, that's the perception of it, isn't it? But now that I'm getting older, I would like one. Maybe like behind an ear. My friend of mine, Casey's got one behind the ear and looks really cool. Or one on the wrist.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Or
my friend was like, don't be ridiculous. Go get some henna and get over yourself.
Or, you know, like on the foot, like right by the...
No, you see, only place,
What would you get?
So I either want a little star,
like
just a hollow, just like that,
mm-hmm.
or my children's initials.
Yeah, children's initials.
But they spell com. We decided it wasn't great. Touché. I could just get SL, couldn't I? But yeah, I would.
Children's initials is a good one because it's sentimental. It means to,
well, it's
you know,
news,
mean
it?
Something.
Kind of justifies it.
Mine will be like double L.
My brother had one like after the tsunami, which I would go into, but he got away with being allowed a tattoo because of the tsunami. I was just like, so, Dad, that's my way to deal with it. So, all right. But
what did he get?
I don't know, some quote or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's quite big. Where was it?
I think it's down here. My sister, we know, well, everyone knows about my sister and her Harry Potter tattoo.
Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. Yeah, I know. Outrageous.
Does she still love it?
I'd imagine. So, yeah. What about you? Have you got a tattoo, Astrid?
No.
Would you ever get one?
I don't think so. I think I'm too old now because, I don't know, I change my mind about things so often.
Yeah, me too.
Couldn't.
That's why I couldn't do it.
I couldn't blame it on being like 17 and stupid anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you just had bad taste then.
Yeah. See, the older I get, the more I want.
Yeah, me too. Although there is a photo of an old granny. You must have seen that photo.
No.
There's an old granny in a bikini with tattoos on.
I haven't seen it, but that is what sticks in my head.
It's quite amused. It's quite an amused. It's a sort of
It's a funny picture.
Is she one of those grannies that's like covered in tattoos or just like bad tattoos?
I don't know, I'll have to dig it out. I can't remember, but I sent it to someone the other day and I was like, I actually really want a tattoo. And then I look at this picture.
Just
but
like
actually,
a saggy skin.
Yeah, but if it's
like,
small.
I think of my mum with a tattoo on her wrist now. I mean, that is not a good thing.
Yeah. But if it's like really delicate and somewhere hidden.
I think
if it's
somewhere like
quite
there,
cute.
That's nice.
Yeah, something on the rib. On the rib, it's quite like.
Yeah, I like that.
It looks nice, like
with like a little
amazing.
Yeah, if you're really tanned.
An open back dress or something. Amazing, yeah. But I think for me, if I would get one, it would be on my wrist or like maybe somewhere behind the ear, because I always
again I don't get the point of that.
See, like if I put my hair like up or like that, you could see it a little bit, but like hint, because it's for me. I think the tattoo that I would get, it would be for me rather than for other people.
Yeah,
I'd need it somewhere I couldn't see it. Then you can't
so
get
what's the
it.
Point? That's the thing. I don't really get the point. People are like, you can't see it, but then why would you want a tattoo?
Where will you get it?
Well, no, I'd get it there on my wrist. I have to say, I never thought I would say it, but I don't think I'll ever get one because I'm such a bloody wimp.
I think you should get one.
Do you?
Let's go together.
Okay.
And because that's cool, you can get it lasered off quite easily.
You can get white tattoos. Have you heard of those? They're like white, so it just, you know, it's very subtle.
Yeah.
But then what's the point?
Exactly.
Anyway, let's talk about hair, because Anna, you've got pretty amazing locks. They're very long. Do they take a lot of maintenance? Do they always look like that?
But I used to be really, really curly.
Oh, really?
So naturally, I'm a like, super curly girl.
So and do you straighten that much hair every time?
No, so now it's much easier. But, you know, when people say grasses are always greener. And I always wanted to have, you know, straight
poke straight hair.
And I always, you know, wanted to have what I didn't have in a way. When it came to hair. So I went to do some keratin treatments. I did three times now. I haven't done it for 3 years or 4 years now, but somehow after becoming a mom, I don't know if it's hormone changes or what, and doing those treatments in the past, my hair is not nearly as curly as before. Yeah, so it's completely different structure now. So it's much easier for me to, you know, blow dry it, and then I use my, you know, GHDs or whatever to straighten them.
And you do that yourself?
Yeah, and just
tong it a bit.
Yeah. And that's it.
Well, we wrote a piece on finding the perfect hairbrush for your hair type.
Yeah.
I thought this was really interesting. Have you read this? Because A, you'd have thought there were that many
varieties.
And B, it kind of just really made sense.
What is a teaser?
Tangle teaser.
So I use tangle teaser, but
on your children?
On my children, yeah. On my hair, because my I've got a lot of hair. It
you've
doesn't
got a lot
really
of hair.
Do much. So I use just a you know, regular
brush.
Yeah, brush like that. And I use products. So, you know, your conditioner and shampoo, I could never do without the conditioner, for example. So shampoo, conditioner, I use the Maria Nila line. I don't know if you know it. And then I always do the replenishing mask and the like Moroccan oil or 72 hair brand. So like the serums that I always put to make sure that it's tamer, because just because it's so much hair that you need to kind of calm it down a bit.
Yeah, well, I thought this was really interesting. It said that ball bristle brushes are considered by most stylists to be the gold standard for creating polished strands.
Yeah, I like that.
And it said ball bristle brushes are best for fine to normal hair because it doesn't snag, it's not pulling your hair out. I don't use a ball bristle brush, and I have really fine hair. But I use more like a paddle brush.
Me too, I use a paddle brush. And I've got very fine hair.
Yeah, and but I use a GHD one, which I think is just incredible.
Yeah, they're good.
I need to try it out.
So good.
Yeah. I use that on dry hair, but I've got quite similar hair to you. So as soon as I'm out of the shower, like there's no getting a normal hairbrush through this. I use. It's a bit like a tangle teaser, but it's got a handle.
A handle, the wet,
it's called
wet brush. Which
so
we
just
did in the Sherlock box. Yeah,
like,
I love that.
See, I have to always brush my hair when I
in the shower.
Wash my, yeah,
yeah,
so
the
when the conditioner is
do
in.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because it gets so knotty.
Not knotty, but it's just much easier to kind of brush them through.
Do you
and
do
that's
the same?
It.
Not always. If I'm in a rush, I don't, but yeah.
I thought I read that was bad for your hair.
I don't think so, because whenever I'm at the hairdressers, they do that.
Yeah,
I also don't wash my hair every day.
How often do you
wash? Like once every 5 days.
What?
Yeah. It's good for it's not good to wash them every day.
I know, but my hair would be so greasy.
Really? Well, mine are quite dry, so the more I wash it, the drier it would get.
Yeah.
So now
I do not have that problem, sadly. It said that for the brush that can literally do it all, and we mean removing tangles, creating smoothness, adding shine and blow drying. A classic ball bristle finishing brush should be the backbone.
Oh, I should get that.
Your routine. So, and it said the best one is the premium finishing brush by Cricut, £6.36.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
To be precise. So, I know I do like my big GHD, but maybe I should give that a try.
Yeah, I will certainly look into that one. Sounds amazing. I need a new brush, actually.
Good info. Let's talk about health, fitness, food. Do you have a routine? You're laughing.
I don't. I wish I did. I always wanted to be a girl who loved running. Like, I had my friends that if they don't exercise or miss a day, they're all over the place and they really need to get it out
like
of their
me.
System.
I don't love running, but that is me.
So I've never been that girl. I wish I was, but I just never been. The only times that I've done any sort of exercise is when I needed to prove someone that I can do it. So, for example, like, my husband done, you know, half Ironman and triathlons and marathon or whatever, and he was getting ready for Endure 24-hour race with his friends. So he's like, hey, do you want to go camping with us, like, or, you know, start training? And when he said it, he's like, oh, actually, you wouldn't be into it. And I'm like, yes, I will be. So I literally went for a run.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah, like six times. I was talking to my friend Gemma, and she does, you know, fitness stuff. So she's like, you can do it, you can do it. And I went training for about like six times, and then we went camping where you have to run for 24 hours. And I didn't do the 24 hours, but
sorry,
I've done...
Sorry, you went camping, you had to run for 24
hours? For 24 hours. So everybody in a team,
endurance
have teams,
thing.
And it's an endurance thing. So you, let's say you want to achieve 100 kilometers in 24 hours. So as a team, you know how many times you have to run during the night or the end day.
Right.
So I've done for the first time ever 16 kilometers, like, but just like no training. So I could do it if I have to, but I don't enjoy fitness, and, you know, I don't enjoy working out.
And you don't feel that
but
you
I
should
wish
do
I
it?
No, I do feel I should do it, especially now.
So do you balance that by eating a certain way, or are you just lucky to have a good metabolism? And
if anything, so when I was younger and was working in fashion and wanted to kind of fit into that, you know, fashion mold and be like super skinny, I would be on several diets, you know, you name a diet, I knew about it. But then something happened after, you know, certain age, after maybe like when I turned 30 or something. And then after I became a mom, I just never felt more secure and more confident in my body. And once I stopped kind of caring about my dieting routine, or, you know, that I had to work out and I had to do this, it just, I became happier. So now I eat, you know, chocolate more than I've ever done. I eat chocolate like every day, when before I would have never done that. Mm-hmm. And I think because I don't restrict myself and I'm kind of,
but
I don't think about it.
Yeah,
I just have more healthier relationship with, you know, if you want to call it a regime or, you know, the food cravings.
You don't overthink it.
Yeah, I don't overthink it now. And actually, I've never been happier now in my body than before, just because I just don't really...
Well, hooray for that. That's what...
And also the kids. Every time I'm trying to eat, my kids eat everything on my plate. Because for some reason, like, mommy's plate looks better. So I end up eating their leftovers. So maybe that's that. And also, recently, my husband became a vegan. So he's a chef in the house. And we, like, one meal that I always eat is dinner time. Because, you know, he comes home from work and we cook. Or he's the main chef. So he cooks. So now it's like, it's been vegan for 3 weeks now.
Oh, so
and
this
I'm
is
actually
new,
feeling.
Is it, was he a vegetarian before?
No, he was like. We went to Portugal a few weeks ago and he was eating steak every single day.
Whoa.
Because he's like, I want to try out this, you know, the vegan diet thing, and I think it's going to be healthier for the body. And he saw some sort of like documentary about food,
yeah,
and
is,
it
yeah,
really
it's
something.
Netflix,
it? Yeah, it's on Netflix as well. I forgot the name of it, but you know, my dinner time is now quite vegan.
Yeah,
and, but it's really good.
Well, embrace it.
Yes,
might catch on. You never know.
Yeah.
It's all the rage, isn't it?
Let's see when he gets bored, and then we can get back to normal.
And do you feel as you get older? We wrote a piece on eating right for your age. We got a lot. Backlash for this, didn't we? Eating right for your age and how you should adapt your diet from your 20s to your 30s to your 40s to your 50s. And we stopped at 50s, and whoa, the over 50s were not happy. We shared ours last week. Anyway, sorry if you are in your 60s or above, but anyway, this article did not go beyond the 50s. I think maybe it's just because the same rules apply.
I think it's the same rules.
Which is when you get to your 50s, you need to embrace calcium, because a lack of estrogen can leave you with weak bones as your hormone levels decline further. But do you feel like as you get older you need to adapt your diet, or is that not something you worry about?
No, like I was saying before, if anything I eat more like chocolate and crisps or whatever it is. Like more than I've ever done before,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't overdo it.
Yeah.
And
what about you both?
That's the thing.
Are you changing your diets as you get older?
No, probably should do, but no, I don't. I just eat the same stuff I've always eaten.
I think we're just getting healthier though as the years
yeah.
go by, as we become more aware.
I mean, I don't eat macaroni cheese every night, but. Quite like it. Yeah. When I was younger, I mean, I'm blessed with fairly good genes, and I could literally eat anything. But I'm 30 now, and
oh,
I mean,
you're
I can
still a
break.
Come on.
Like, pretty much eat what I want, but you feel the effects of it.
Yeah.
Also, we're like surrounded by it, aren't we?
Yeah.
You feel a bit of guilt if you.
Well, also, yeah, and like if you eat crap every day, then
you feel gross.
And feel
yeah.
Gross and.
And also, I think like when you get older, you're so much more. busier. I find myself, I cannot really think about, you know, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. But by nature, you just eat healthy, especially like as a mom, you have certain options in your fridge and...
Yeah.
Well, any woman, but...
You have the same options in your fridge if you're anything like me. I mean, girl, we just order the same
thing. Yeah, we just do the same.
Single week. I mean, I need to swap Ocado orders with someone else.
Yeah.
We should do that.
You should actually. That's a really good idea.
What are the things... I'd love to know, like, give me a sort of range of moms, kind of similar age, and what are the staples that go into there?
Yeah.
What makes up the bulk of their meals? I mean, mine is kale, ham, you know, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like I don't have kids, and it's like salmon fillet, courgettes. It's the same thing all the time.
Salmon fillet. No, you see, they're not on my weekly.
Oh, they're every week. Always.
Yeah. You love the salmon, don't you?
Yeah, I love white fish. I'm a big fan of white fish. So we eat, well, we used to before Mark became vegan.
See you later, white fish.
But I love, like...
Tofu?
Like, yeah, he's done a tofu curry recently.
Which I quite like tofu.
Yeah, I like it.
If it's
good
fried.
Good yeah, I was going to say, if it's
deep fried.
Exactly.
But you give me Mexican or Thai food, that's my go-to. I love Thai food.
Well, that doesn't sound very vegan, then.
No, it doesn't. Although there is always a vegan burrito full of...
No, I'm sure there are vegan options. Let's talk about working with your other half. We wrote a great piece. I thought it was really well written last week.
Yeah, I said that, didn't I, just now?
About
I loved it.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? About the golden rules of working with your other half. Have you ever considered working with your nearest and dearest? The prospect of spending every working hour together may be a daunting one. But anyway, these were three successful husband and wife teams that proved that love, life and business can exist in harmony. And we asked them what their secrets were to success. I don't know about you, but with my husband and I, we actually get on better when we spend more time together. When we haven't sort of connected and had conversations and sat down and had a meal together, I think we tend to be a bit more...
Definitely.
You know, tend to be a bit more snappy with each other. Although he's a real accountant, I don't know if I could work with him. But what about, what would you say? Could you all work with your other halves?
No.
No.
100% no way.
No.
Asterisk?
Why
not? Because we're very different characters.
We're very different characters, and I found that personality-wise, I'm quite controlling, because creatively and visually, I have my own vision when it comes to certain things.
Yeah,
and
too.
Even though, so he works in kind of tax world, advising on tax and all of that, and even if we're talking about what his expertise is, I still have to challenge it, but doesn't end well. So I need to know all the little, like, ins and outs, and just, yeah.
Well, I think that balances, so we're very similar, so I'm sort of, not that I'm a stylist, but I'm the more creative person, mm-hmm. the more like visionary person, and he's by nature, he works in corporate finance, but he's a trained accountant, so he's like, but I find that really good because it challenges me, and if ever I have an idea and I put it to him, like, he's my biggest critic, but in a way that it challenges me to think of things in a different way. And I quite often will get home and I go, we're going to do this, we're going to launch this, and this is how it's going to work, and then he'll just rip it apart with his questions.
Yes!
And I'm like, sorry, am I on The Apprentice right now or in Dragon's Den? And I feel like you're just, but actually once I get over my rage that he's like trampled all over my plan,
this is so similar.
I'm like, damn it, he's right. And it's really useful thing. Whether I want it 24/7, I don't know, but I think it's quite good to complement each other's skills. And I think most of the people in this article who said that it worked was because they had their defined roles and they kind of respected those roles.
Yeah.
And they,
well, I think that's the trick, whether it's your husband partner or any partnership you go into, I think when you have this defined roles and, you know, skill sets that sets you apart, that's the key to success.
Mm.
Between partnerships. But if you kind of more controlling character wise and you want to know what's going on in every single aspect of your business, it might not work that well.
I think it does work in the whole of it. I don't think you read many stories about businesses. You read friendships that break down because maybe you can't always have those Heimdinger slanging matches with friendships. Like, that's harder to get back on track. But maybe in a relationship it's part of, well, it's not every day, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of get back from a big row in a relationship, whereas, or in a, you know, male, female, but maybe when it's girlfriends, it's different.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
You'd have to be a bit more sensitive.
I do feel like you often hear about businesses where the founders split and they were friends, but you don't hear it with couples.
Husband and wife.
Yeah. And let's talk a bit about your career. Mercer 7 today, where did you start in the world of fashion?
So when I started my career, I went to university to become a fashion designer, and I had a fine arts background before that. So I always was in the creative industry. And in New York and in London, when I moved here, I always worked for fashion brands.
Designing
clothes. Yeah, so I was always in the kind of background, behind the scenes, doing the fittings and sketching the collections and doing all that hands-on stuff that create collections. After becoming a mom, I just knew that I wanted to pick my kids up on time, and I knew that the fashion world and design world, it was never 9 to 5. So it just was not feasible for me, and it was not flexible for me. And I just decided to resign and took a 3.5 year career break. And within that, I did some styling work here and there, and I always enjoyed, you know, art directing photo shoots. I just thought that, you know what, why don't I create a job that works for me, and, you know, create my own website that's around things that I love.
So how do you describe Mercer 7 to somebody listening who hasn't discovered it yet?
Mercer 7 is a curated womenswear website and platform. It's got a focus and purpose, which is sustainability through timelessness. So all the pieces that I add to my edit, the shopping edit, are all versatile, easy to wear, simple to style, and just timeless in its simplicity, in its style. So it's not, you know, on trend or anything like that. It's a fashion that goes beyond the latest season. So that's basically the whole concept behind it. And another main thing, it's just one single aesthetic. So I don't really dip in and out of, you know, different trends or prints or anything like that. It's just when you come to Mercer 7, you know exactly what you're going to get, which is that effortless, minimal, with a bit of rock and roll edge aesthetic. That's what I do. This is what the edit is all about. So it might not be for everybody, but I think the world we're living in, it's so saturated. Every website you go to, it's got million and million options for, you know, whatever you're looking for. And I just wanted to strip it all down and give a selection that doesn't have million options, but whatever is chosen for you, you know that it's versatile and it will go into your capsule wardrobe.
And I love that you stay so true to your aesthetic. It's a really inspiring edit. And if you haven't visited the Mercer 7 yet, do check it out. Anna, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
Today.
Thank you so
We've
much.
We've loved chatting to you.
Thank you.
So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com. And if you enjoyed that, then do please subscribe, rate and review us on iTunes. See you next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.